This week, we are hitting a very popular topic when it comes to the Bible, virtuous women. We're going to talk about what is a virtuous woman according to Scripture and what is her value? What kind of value does she hold? So stay tuned as we learn more about what a virtuous woman is and how we can become more like her. Hey, wise women. So glad you're here today. Welcome back for another week of the episode. So we moved out of Numbers and we're going to jump in to Proverbs 31. I know this is an incredibly, incredibly popular study and there's so much information out there. And so I'm not one who likes to do a lot of devotion books. I like to read the Bible for myself and study it for myself. And so I thought, what better way, what better place to be than in Proverbs 31? So with no further ado, we are going to be in Proverbs 31, verse number 10. Now, today's episode is kind of like the beginner episode or the starter episode. It's kind of a small introduction. So basically the next few weeks, every verse that we look at is going to be an example of what a virtuous woman is. So today we're just going to talk about what a virtuous woman is and her value. And then in the following weeks, as we continue reading, we are going to look at examples of a virtuous woman. So Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Short and simple and to the point. I like it. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to start to break this verse down. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can come to you refreshed every day, listening to what you want to say to us in your word. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would help me to speak clearly. And I pray that something that is said today will resonate with a woman somewhere, God, and that it will just stay in her heart and encourage her. Lord, thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for all that you're doing. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I like to think of this verse as one of those popular, well-quoted verses. You know, it's something that a lot of people post on their social media, on their Facebook feed. There's a lot of quotes out there using it about how her value is more than a ruby and all this stuff. If you've been around social media any amount of time, I'm sure you've seen this a time or two. But I just want to point out the importance of the fact that the scripture just says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is above rubies. I think our society focuses so much on the value of a woman these days. And I'm not trying to be all politically correct or anything like that. So I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But I think women are valuable. Yes. I know that we all have a role. Yes. But I think we are tending to put more value on ourselves than what was ever intended. In a sense of selfishness. And that's what I'll say about that. So we're talking about the virtuous woman. We're not just talking about a woman. We are talking about the virtuous woman. So today is going to be a little bit, I'm hoping it's not going to be overwhelming for you. But I have a good bit of, I don't know if you want to call it research, but I have a good bit of information that I have to talk to you about and tell you about for you to kind of understand this time period. Because if you're like me, I read my Bible and I have such a hard time picturing what life was like during the Bible times. Like I can't envision what the women did. I can't envision what they wore or what kind of homes they lived in. I just mentally, I have a hard time visualizing that. I know some women do not have that problem. I have a handful of people in my life who are very good at like, oh, I think it was like this and this. And, you know, they can cast that vision for me. But for me, I have a hard time. So I kind of did a little research. And so I'm going to share some of that with you today. So for starters, the word virtuous is a super, for me, it was a super hard one to define when it comes to this scripture, because if you look up the definition for virtuous in the Strong's Concordance, it means strength, efficiency, or a force. And it's specifically discussing it within the realms of like going to war. Like it referred to it as like a band of a strong band, like a force to be reckoned with kind of thing. So, you know, when you hear, oh, strength and she's a force to be reckoned with, like that sounds great. Yeah, that's a virtuous woman. I'm that. But I feel like there's so much more to that word. I mean, it really doesn't take a lot for a woman to be strong and efficient, you know? I know plenty of strong and efficient women, but that doesn't make them virtuous. So when you look up the word virtuous in Webster's, it actually means chase, C-H-A-S-T-E. And chase means to be pure from all unlawful commerce of sexes, applied to persons before marriage to be undefiled. So basically it means someone who has saved themselves for marriage, someone who is pure. And again, this is great, but in my mind, I'm thinking, this just doesn't make applicable sense to my life. Like, it's not applicable to my season of life. And, you know, not all scripture has to be, but I just felt like there was more to it. So that's when I started looking at what happened in this time period and what kind of value did women hold during this time period. So stay with me. I'm going to give you a good bit of historical background. Again, I am no historian, so please don't like hold me to a high, high standard. If I say something and you're like, hang on, I've got a better source and I didn't hear that from my, or, you know, I didn't read that from my source, by all means, I am so willing to learn. But this is just what I've gathered based on my reading from articles and history articles. So, okay, in ancient Israel, when this text was written, marriages were typically arranged by their fathers. The girls were usually married off between the ages of 12 and 18, and the men were usually between the ages of 18 and 30. Not super important, but just thought I'd give you some background information there. I think it's also important to understand that the daily life of most of these women during the time. So we hear a lot of conflicting ideas that women during this time were basically just glorified slaves. And from the articles in history I could find, this could be somewhat questionable. Basically, the women worked from sunup to sundown. They were to take care of the children, mill the grain to bake the bread and the foods, made the clothing. They helped the husband with the harvest and the harvest prepping. Some women went into the market to sell goods that they had made or had extra of. If their children were of an old enough age, they were teaching the children while managing the home, making sure it was stocked with the utilities to continue the functioning day to day. Obviously, this is vastly, vastly different from our lives today, but I think this is how the word virtuous can mean efficient or a force. She knew the tasks that needed to be done each day and knew what needed to be done when and in the order of how it would happen. She was an incredibly valuable asset to the home. The women oftentimes wouldn't go to the temple for sacrifices, but they contributed by making the bread, the oils, or the incense to be sacrificed. So without this, the man wouldn't have easily been able to make that sacrifice. She would know the right temperature to cook the bread, so it would be just perfect. She knew how long to mill the grain and with what amount of pressure. And she knew how to manage the money to be able to make extra to sell within the market. She was an efficient wife. So I think that's part of the definition in a long sense of what it means when it says efficient, like a virtuous woman is an efficient woman. But then there's a second part to this. So I told you that it could mean strength or efficiency or a force, but it could also mean the word chase. And I think this one is a little bit more applicable. So the word chase, let's just break this down. So men during this time wanted a woman who was chaste or pure before marriage because of the importance of the bloodline. I was blown away when I read this. I was like, what? Okay, let me keep reading. So basically, obviously, they did not have DNA testing back then. And so fidelity was incredibly important to keeping the bloodline pure. Basically, they didn't want to be with someone who had recently had relations, if you know what I mean, with another man from, say, a different tribe. And then there would be a possibility of her being pregnant because then they wouldn't actually know who the father was when, you know, they would get married. So keeping the bloodline as pure as possible was very important during this time frame. And honestly, that's something that I never even thought of. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually. And so enter in, this would be the reason for why women would need to be chaste. A girl who had saved herself from marriage, and this is something I read in an article, and I think it was incredibly, incredibly well put, but a woman who had saved herself from marriage was seen to be a woman who had self-control, and it was predictive of marital fidelity. Therefore, this quality of being chaste, was incredibly valuable. So the best definition of a virtuous woman that I can gather is a woman who is chaste, meaning pure and having self-control, while also obtaining qualities of strength and efficiency. Now that we all know that we can see the value this type of wife would have during that time, she was incredibly valuable. But I want to look at the word rubies too, because the end of it says that her price is far above rubies. And that word price, it just means value. So her value is far above rubies. So let's look at some interesting facts that I learned about rubies. According to Strong's Concordance, rubies definition is actually mean pearls. And when you look that word up, then it goes and it just says it's valued according to its size, roundness, and listen to this, and its purity. You see the connection? But wait, there's more. It gets better, and you're going to start to see in just a few moments why the writer of this proverb chose to use rubies in this text. So rubies are hard and unable to be engraved upon. They're made under extreme pressure. Rubies over 1 carat are incredibly rare. And because of this, they are considered a treasure because of their rarity. There's many places where rubies can be found, but they're not all gem quality. Since most are small, when panning for them, they may easily be missed if you're not attentive. Real gem quality rubies are incredibly expensive and unobtainable to the average person like you and I, simply because of means of money. Wow. When I read that, I studied that on Saturday and Brian was not with me, and I instantly called him and I was like, you got to hear about these rubies. And he was like, oh, okay. I was just like mind blown at the connection that has to what the word chase means, basically. And which is why I'm leaning towards the fact, and again, this is just my study. I'm not saying this is the answer, because I don't have all the answers. But from my knowledge, I think the word virtuous means more along the lines of chase than it does anything else. And this is why, is because it's being compared to this ruby, which is incredibly rare and pure. So a virtuous woman is more valuable than the rarest, most treasured gem in the earth. That's just mind-blowing. Here's where the truth comes, though, and when and how we can start to apply this to our life. Now, I told you in the beginning that this is one of those verses that's just easily quotable and people just slap it up on social media, not really understanding the context. women are valuable, yes, but this text says virtuous woman is more valuable. And sometimes, as wives, and I'm only saying this because I'll admit I do it, we walk around thinking our husband owes us something because scripture says we're more valuable than a ruby. I will be the first to admit it. There has been times where I just walk around thinking like, you know what? You're the man of the house. You're the leader. You owe me. Am I right? By no means. Am I being incredibly honest with you? Yes, I am. But I feel like if we were to sit down and have a conversation together, friend to friend right now, you would probably admit there has been times when you felt like your husband owed you something. And in a sense, biblically, there are certain things that they do, okay? But right now, we're talking about a virtuous woman. And so here's the question. Are we holding up our end of that deal? We want to be valued and we want to be deemed as valuable, but are we actually being that virtuous woman who is valuable? That convicted me. When I was studying this and that thought came to my mind, I was like, ooh, ouch. Lord, that one hurts. That one really hurts. See, I like to walk around and point out all the things that my husband is doing. And I like to focus on all the areas where he is weak. And I like to point out all the areas where I feel he's not helping me. But yet, am I actually focusing on being a virtuous woman? So what I want you to do right now, and if you're not a wife, please don't think that this doesn't apply to you, because this is applicable to any woman, whether you are a widow, whether you are married, whether you are single, whether you are single and looking or single and not looking. This applies to all of us, because it doesn't say who can find a virtuous wife. It says who can find a virtuous woman. And I think that is very important to focus on too, is that it says a woman, not just a wife. See, these characteristics of being a virtuous woman is what sets us apart from all the other women in the world. If you were to put me in, or if you were to put any of us in a group, a large group, in a building with a large group of women, would I be able to stand out as a virtuous woman? Would I be a rare enough treasure? Would I be pure enough of a red ruby to stand out? Or would I blend in with all the other diamonds or with all the other rocks? Would I blend in? And so I think that's why it's important that you don't tune out just because you're not married. Because being a virtuous woman, regardless of marriage, is a highly valuable, obtainment. It's something that we should all strive to obtain, because at the end of the day, we are married to Christ. And because of our marriage in Christ, we should want to be a virtuous wife to Him. So I want you to take a moment right now and just take inventory of yourself, whether you're a wife, whether you're a widow, whether you're whatever stage of life you are in. And be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell anybody, just be honest with yourself. Are you a wife who is getting up, preparing the house for the day, managing things well, using money in the wisest way possible for your family, investing it in all the right places? Are you making sure there's no lack of need in your home? Are you doing what you can to keep yourself pure? And I don't just mean in a sexual sense, but are you working to keep yourself pure with your intentions, your thoughts towards your husband, your actions and your words? Or are you creating an environment at home where there is lots of confusion because the money is always spent? Nothing is ever prepared for the day, and you're just living in a life of constant defeat and weakness and just always looking to pick a fight. And if you're not married, I want you to ask yourself those same questions, though. What are you doing in your state of life, of your state of singleness? What are you doing to be a virtuous woman? What attributes are you practicing to be virtuous? Now, this isn't to beat you up, nor is it to put you down and say, shame on you, you're not a good enough wife. That is never going to be my goal, ever. We are all learning, we are all growing, but I do believe that when we know better, we can do better. And sometimes we don't know, as Christian women, what is actually expected of us according to the Bible. I know all of our seasons of life are different, and we're all in different places in our life, whether, again, married, not married. But I want to encourage you to seek out ways that you can grow as a wife, to make your home a safe place, a refuge for your family, a place where your spouse knows things will be taken care of. Or, again, maybe you're single. What steps are you taking to prepare yourself to be the absolute most valued woman out there that would be desirable of a husband? Sometimes, and I really think as a society, we've really gotten things twisted, and we're expecting a man to be have chivalry and, you know, do all these things. But as women, I feel like in the last few years, we've kind of dropped the ball, and we really don't know how to do things anymore. And we really kind of sometimes expect men to hang the moon, when in reality, we're not stepping up to the plate either. And so if you are single, the same things apply to you. What are you doing to grow and to prepare yourself to be a future wife one day? And if you have no desire to be a wife, then what are you doing to just be a better woman? Because you, my friend, are called to be so much more than just a woman. You are called to be a virtuous woman in Christ. So, over the next several weeks, we are going to be breaking down verse by verse Proverbs 31, and we are going to be looking at the different examples of a virtuous woman, because this is just the first one. All the scripture coming up says she is, she is, she is, and then it gives examples. And so we are going to look very, very closely, and we're going to break down what exactly does a virtuous woman do according to scripture. So I really hope you'll stick through this series with me, no matter what season of life you're in, because I feel like we're going to learn some really, really good stuff. As always, my prayer is that you are encouraged and that you are not feeling like you just got beat up, but I'm praying that something was revealed to you today and that the Lord is going to work in your heart. So let's pray, and that'll be it. God, thank you so much for my sisters in Christ. Thank you, God, that they are faithful to listen every week. And thank you for new listeners, God. Thank you for this community that you are allowing me to experience. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Proverbs 31 and that it is written in the word for us. God, that we could have help to become better people, to become better women, to become better Christians, God. Thank you that your word guides us and changes us. Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that we could each walk stronger this week, stronger as a woman in your name because of your word. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.